thank God football starts tonight, and thank God I have an alcoholic beverage in front of me, because the Pittsburgh Pirates may have just had the worst trade deadline in the history of Pittsburgh sports. A classic case for your Buccos. And no, you couldn't have expected the returns to be fantastic on these players. I understand that. And we will break down all of the moves they made and did not make over the course of this next hour or so. But another year of disappointment at the trade deadline from Ben Cherington and his folks in the front office. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight. We are live at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor here at Live Casino in Greensburg. Stop out, enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schleideck, and New Flow Men's Health. So the Pirates making a handful of trades today, but most of them not making much sense at all. They trade David Bednar. That was their big ticket item that went out the door. He is now a member of the New York Yankees. They also traded Bailey Falter, a left-handed pitcher that had years of control left on his contract. They then traded Taylor Rogers to the Cubs right after acquiring him from the Reds just 24 hours ago. None of these moves look good in terms of their return. And I want to get your reaction out there at 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson back behind the glass in Green Tree. He is ready to field and screen the calls. And Joel, if we get any breaking Pirates news coming down in these next couple of minutes, don't hesitate to get in my ear. So we will start with the David Bednar move. Because that was the first that the Pirates made earlier today. He goes to the New York Yankees. They get Rafael Flores. That is the big return for them. The eighth prospect in the Yankee system, a first baseman slash catcher. The 24-year-old this year, mostly in double-A ball, hitting .279, an OPS of .826. Does have 16 home runs, 60 runs batted in. Those numbers look good. But he's 24 years old, and he just got to the AAA level of the game. He has played a whopping 10 games in AAA. They also get Edgleen Perez, the 14th-ranked prospect in the Yankee system, another first baseman slash catcher. He is just 19. He's only an A-ball, and he's hitting .209. And then Brian Sanchez, an outfielder that's not even in the Yankees' top 30, who is 21 years old with an OPS of .811. Again, in A ball. It feels like they got at most a potential catcher of the future here, and that is the absolute best case scenario, and I don't think that is going to end up being what happens. With Flores, yeah, the numbers look okay in double A. He still has to play multiple levels before he can prove himself. He will get tested heavily in AAA, and then we will see what happens once he eventually reaches the major leagues. So they traded David Bednar, a multi-time all-star closer who, yeah, he wasn't going to get you Aaron Judge or anything like that in return, but you saw the haul that Mason Miller, a local product from Bethel Park, got earlier today. Now, he has youth on Bednar. He also has years of control on Bednar, but you thought, okay, maybe the Pirates can get something decent for the closer from Mars. That's not the case. They get back a catcher who, a first baseman slash catcher, who might be in the starting lineup at some point next season. And now with a boatload of catchers on your roster, you don't know really what direction you want to go in with this player. And then you got really nothing else. You can say you got lottery tickets with the other two guys, but I wouldn't say I feel good about a player hitting .209 in A-ball. I wouldn't say I feel great about somebody who's already 21 just playing in A-ball right now in the form of Brian Sanchez, an outfielder who wasn't even in the Yankees' top 30. Flores will enter the Pirates system. He will be outside of their top 10 when MLB Pipeline redoes the prospect list. So the Bednar one, a failure. The next one was Bailey Falter. That one happened about a half hour ago, getting traded to Kansas City. Falter, a lefty with years of return or years of on his contract. What type of return would they get for him? Another lackluster one. Evan Sisk, a left-handed pitcher, is what they get there. Right now he is in the Kansas City bullpen. He has pitched a total of 5 innings of Major League Baseball. And then Callan Moss, a 21-year-old who is not in the Kansas City top 30, a 790 OPS in high A ball. So you get back-to-back bad moves made by Ben Cherington. And then they trade Rogers, who they just got yesterday from the Cincinnati Reds in that key Brian Hayes deal. They flip Rogers to the Cubs, and they get Ivan Brethauer in return. That looks like a better trade than the first two that I mentioned. That's just how bad the Bednar and Falter trades were. And going back over the course of this entire trade deadline, I think the Brian Hayes trade is the best one, and I did not think I would be telling myself that around 6:10, just 10 minutes post-trade deadline on the final day of July here in 2025, but here we are, because the Pirates were able to move Key Brian Hayes, they get Taylor Rogers, they get Sammy Schifura, who is a promising player that was in the Red system, speedy player, 4 home runs, but he had 18 doubles, he had 9 triples at their double-A level. That feels like they actually got an overpay for Key Brian Hayes, and they got underpaid on everybody else. This was another failure for Ben Cherington at the trade deadline. And I go light on him given what happened last season. Last year at the trade deadline, I didn't think it was horrific. Now, it ended up being bad. They get good play, decent play out of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, but again, he's just their 9 hitter. He's a decent singles and doubles guy, nothing more. He can be a utility man defensively. Then they get Brian De La Cruz, who promptly forgets how to hit a baseball when the Pirates get him in their clubhouse. The only thing that makes those trades easier to swallow is that the guys they gave up have done much of nothing. But I do want to get the pulse of the people on this at 412-928-9370. Just how you feel off the cuff about these Pirates moves at the deadline. I can't imagine too many people are happy with how things went for Ben Cherington and company over the last day or so. We will start with John all the way in Louisiana. What's going on, John? John, Joel?
No, he's still there.
All right, John, we're skipping you. JR and Apollo, what's up, JR?
So I listen to a lot of your shows, the AM, the Sometime Pomp and Bob show, and the PM team. And all I heard was they're going to trade from a position of power. And our position of power was David Bednar for minor leaguers. Our position of power was everybody else for a bag of popcorn. That's really, really where this organization is. It's infuriating that, oh my God, we assume we're going to get so much better for David Bednar because some kid from, I'm sorry, Waynesburg, is that where he's from? Went to the whoever and he got a boatload. But they have nothing. There's only one person that we can trade from position of power on, and that is Mr. Skeens. And you know what? If you trade that, you might as well burn the stadium down.
Yeah, and they weren't going to do that. I appreciate the call. JR, I mean, the Bednar trade, it just looks worse and worse, I think, as you dig deeper into what the Pirates got back, because you maybe got a guy who can play at the major league level, maybe. And then you have two guys that probably can't. You have somebody else who will probably never even get there in the form of Sanchez. And Paul Skeens was and should have been untouchable, so I think the Pirates did the right move there. But another weird thing that was not done at this deadline, I thought it was a guarantee that 3 guys would go. Andrew Heaney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Tommy Pham. Guess who is still on the Pirates roster? All 3 of them. I thought that was an easy thing to move off from because you just saw it year after year after year. somebody would end up taking one of those guys. Tommy Pham's been their best player for the last month and a half. Andrew Heaney, okay, the numbers are not as good as they were early in the season, but he's a left-handed veteran pitcher. Teams always go after that at the deadline, no matter how poorly the guy may be pitching. And IKF is somebody good to throw on a playoff roster because he can play anywhere, and he will just give you professional at-bats at the bottom of the lineup. 412-928-9370. Ben is next. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Don. I was going to try and call in earlier about the David Bednar trade, but then Bailey Falter dropped, and I actively yelled. That's how bad I thought that trade was. So instead of saying whatever, you know, everybody's been saying all day long, I'm going to speak directly to Ben Sherrington right now. That was horrible. I can't imagine how it feels to be the laughingstock of a major metropolitan center like Pittsburgh. Mr. Sherrington, you have failed us so badly, and it just hurts, and it's so frustrating being a Pirates fan. I'm sorry, Dom, but that's the way I feel. Thank you.
Yeah, Ben, I mean, I appreciate the call. I think you speak for a lot of people there. It grows more and more frustrating, really, by the day to be a fan of this organization, because they go into, I would have rather them done very little than to see the moves that they made, because it really does feel like they made a couple of these moves just to do it, just to make these moves. The only one I actually feel good about, and it's very predictable what could end up happening here, but the one I feel best about is Ke'Bryan Hayes going to the Reds. That shouldn't be the case. And we all know what's about to happen. Ke'Bryan Hayes will go to Cincinnati. He will continue to play an elite level of third base, and he will then become one of the best hitters in the National League. That would just be way too predictable. 412-928-9370. Joel, what's this one? The pencil guy? What am I supposed to call this guy? Hello? Don't what do we got, pencil guy?
Offensively, the pencil guy.
What do you got?
Do you not feel like Sherrington is fighting for his job?
Do I feel that way? He doesn't act like it.
Like, right now, I feel like he is selling what he needs to sell. But I'm going to tell you, during your show, you're going to see more trades come across.
And?
You're going to see Pham gone. You're going to see Haney gone. If not, he deserves fired tomorrow.
So which guys do you think he'll get rid of here that haven't already been
Pham,
rid of?
Pham, Haney, and guess what? Bart, too. I mean, why are we stacking up on catchers whenever Bart is there? Why are we doing that?
I wish I had an answer for you, and thanks for the call. I don't have an answer for a lot of the things they do, because a lot of the things they do not make a lot of sense. They felt like they traded Bailey Falter just to trade him. You would have expected a left-hander that has shown that he can play some pretty good baseball, can be put in the back end of a playoff rotation, and has multiple years of control left. You would have expected that guy to garner a better return than a dude who has thrown five innings of Major League Baseball and a first base prospect that's not even in Kansas City's top 30. But they failed to do that. Ben Sherrington yet again failed to get something done that actually makes things worthwhile for the Pirates. It's unbelievably frustrating as a fan, because even when your team is a seller, you go into a day like this and a time of the year like this, and you have some hope that, okay, they will sell off some assets, they could get a potential promising return, and if you get rid of one of your big ticket items, the return could be juicy enough to set you up for the future. I don't feel like they did that with any of these. Not one of them. 412-928-9370. Jake is in Shadyside. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Donnie. I just wanted to just hear me out real quick. The Bailey Falter trade sucked. We know that, right? But you know what the most damning part about it is? He was a left-handed pitcher and a legit good left-handed pitcher. He traded away Solomito in the Spencer Horowitz trade. And what do we have in the minors right now? We have all right-handed pitchers at every single level. Are they good prospects? Yeah, they're all right-handed. The only one we have that's even notable is Hunter Barco. And, I hope he does well, but that's all we got. That's why that trade made zero sense. If you wanted to get rid of any of the other right-handed pitchers we have right now, I would have understood it. That's why the Mitch one, I don't want to see Mitch gone, but it would have made a little bit of sense, 100%. But you just screwed us, basically, for the next, 4 to 5 years, because we just drafted another right-hander with our first-round pick, so it's not like we're getting one anytime soon.
Jake, I appreciate the call. Just a quick correction there. They did not trade Anthony Solomito in the Spencer Horowitz deal, so they do fortunately still have him. He is in Double-A. He's their 15th overall prospect. And then a little further up the list, you mentioned Hunter Barco, who is their third overall guy. And he is the 72nd overall prospect in all of baseball. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Jim and Shaler. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Donnie, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on? What do you got?
So, hey, I was talking to a friend of mine today. This was a big day for the Pirates. All Sheraton was talking about was getting bats. So disappointed, especially trading Faulkner. I mean, that was out of nowhere. Nobody expected that. Like we were talking about this morning, if they don't have good trade deals, like for Bedard, for Keller, you know what? You got the winter meetings to do this to get it done right. He just threw these guys away and just put the Pirates organization behind even farther, because they're not going to go out and spend money next year. I don't even know how many good free agents are available next year to fill some of these positions up to help this team out next year. So you're probably talking about 2 or 3 years down the road and Skene's gone. So it's a bad day in Pirate baseball, Donnie. Have a good night, man.
Yeah, Jim, I think you bring up a good point there. Some of the guys that they acquire, they're not going to be players that help them out really anytime soon. I think at one point, up until the Falter and Rogers trades at the end, they had acquired five prospects, and I think four of them were still in single A. How does that help the Pirates at all in what we think is the window that they have with Paul Skenes? Because let's face facts here. If they can't get anything done with that guy, they're never going to do it. Because they will never have a player on their roster. They will never have a pitcher as good as Paul Skenes. So the big goal going into this deadline was, okay, we will sell off some of these assets that we have, and we will get in return guys that are either already in the majors or very close to being in the majors, guys that can help us out very soon. If you want to argue that, okay, maybe Rafael Flores does that for you, he just started in Triple-A. Just started there. He's played 10 games at the Triple-A level in the Yankees system. So maybe one guy, Stafura in the Hayes trade, he still has a ways to go. Some of these guys still have several levels to play up before they hit Major League Baseball. So they did nothing to help themselves out for the here and now or even in the near future like they told us the plan would be. 412-928-9370. Joel, do we still have Chuck? Is Chuck on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, here. Chuck? What do you got, buddy?
Well, Donnie, I called the previous show, and I said it about as quickly as you correctly as you can say it. They get F for the trade deadline for me. And after this you know, after your show, on your show, after the Falter trade, they get capital F. Where are the major league ball players that we're supposed to get? You know, if this is the overture, I sure don't want to hear the author. If this is what, you know, we got nothing but more junk. That's all we got. And we gave away the best defensive third baseman, an all-star closer, and a left-handed pitcher who was really good at PNC Park. And we got this. I'm just afraid. The grains in the sand dial are going to be slipping away. And if we don't win with Paul Skeens around here, I'll put it to you this way. If Paul Skeens leaves and there's no championship, the Pirates are not going to be much more relevant than the Pittsburgh Maulers were. Sorry. Bye-bye.
Chuck, that was a great call, as always. I mean, I don't know how anybody could give them any sort of passing grade. So, I mean, if we're going to have the godfather of Pirates fandom call in here and say the Pirates get an F, I think it's kind of hard to argue because it just does not feel like they got anything of use in return for me. Flores is just let's hope that he continues to hit in AAA and in the majors like he did in AA. Stafura, kind of the same thing. But, I mean, how many of these prospects can you get excited about? Because you know what else hurts as Pirates fans, people who have had to follow this team now for years, for the last 30-plus, with the exception of 3 years in the 2010s. It's always prospects in return, and a few of them have gotten through the cracks, and they have paid off, but this doesn't feel like it'll be a time that we look back on and think, yeah, they just got some players that will change the trajectory of Pirates baseball. Maybe I'm just being too negative on it. Maybe somebody can talk me out of it. We'll see. 412-928-9370. Tyler is in Springdale. What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, I just kind of want to, you know, say how excited I am that we didn't trade IKF, Heaney, or Pham so we can go on this wild card run in August.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me at all that those three guys are still here. I thought that would have been the easy pick, Tyler, those three that would have been traded.
I mean, what value does it bring the team to have them here? I mean, if you're going to trade anybody, I mean, they traded away the guys that had years of control and they kept the rentals. I mean, they're not even saving on salary by keeping IKF and Heaney or Pham. I mean, if they did anything today, I mean, they didn't get any value with any of the prospects that they traded, you know, whether it's in 2042 or in 2026. I mean, there's no value there. The only thing that they did today was trim payroll, and then they don't even trade away their rentals to get more prospects. I mean, I'm starting to think a lot more about the Leafs in 2031 at PNC Park. I mean, this seems intentionally bad. I mean, it's legitimately hard to wrap my mind around how the rent. I mean, that's what they've done all 6 years of Ben Cherington, at least trade away the rentals. I mean, that makes sense. Whether you get scrap minor leaguers or whatever, I mean, the
right.
Season's toast. Like, I mean, honestly, like, you sit here and you look at this trade deadline, and I mean, I thought that it was silly to say that you could fire Ben Cherington, you know, at 6:02 on July 31st. But, I mean, what case is there to be made, even in the most optimistic of terms of what happened here? I mean, like, you see Noah Hyles tweeting out that, like, Bailey Falter is a non-tender candidate for next year. What is he going to make, $5 million? Like, I mean, I hate to be hyperbolic about the whole thing, but, I mean, it really does feel like this was intentional. Like, this was like a middle finger out the door from Ben Cherington. I mean,
yeah, man, that honestly, that's a good call because we we have this belief that, okay, well, this will be it for Ben Cherington. This will be his final trade deadline. So maybe that was his intention here of, okay, I already know within this building that it'll be it for me. I'm going to set these guys up as little as possible in the future.
Yeah, I mean, and I hate to put malice onto the guy, you know, and say that, like, you know, he's trying to trash the franchise. I mean, I honestly didn't believe that until today, even though I thought that he should have been fired whenever Derek Shelton was fired. But, I mean, when you trade away Bailey Falter, who has a similar amount of years of control left to Mitch Keller, and Mitch Keller is the one that's going to make $15 and $17 and $20 million or whatever it is over the next 3 years, and you're not going to trim that payroll, so you're not going to free up any money to actually sign a legitimate bat in the offseason, which was supposed to be kind of the whole point of trading Hayes, of trading Bednar, of trading him. And you trade away Falter, who's going to be like who's a cheap player for you, who's a cheap left-handed starter for you, and now Heaney's gone. You know, so now there's no left-handed starters, and you have to pay Keller. Like, I mean, like, is he tired? Did he not get enough sleep? Like, what is Sherrington doing?
Yeah, man, it's brutal. I appreciate the call, Tyler. I mean, this really just does feel like the worst trade deadline in the history of Pittsburgh sports, and that's saying something because the Pirates have had a lot of instances where they are sellers, but it just feels like they gave us nothing to be hopeful for. So, I mean, if somebody out there wants to try to bring up the mood, they can, 412-928-9370. That's the number to join the conversation. Let's keep loading them up. Some good calls there. Reacting to the Pirates trade deadline here in 2025, the lackluster moves that were made by Ben Cherington today. You can also hit us up on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pretty loaded up show. We're going to take more of your calls coming up next. We have Hunter Homestek from 24/7 Fighting. He will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Jeff Hathorn will join at 8 o'clock. Noah Hiles will help recap this trade deadline at 8:30. And then Alan Saunders will stop in on site at 9 p.m. We are hanging out at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor of Live Casino here in Greensburg on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.